prone to leave the God I love. Boy, what a great, great song, and just one of my favorite hymns. All right, we're going to go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and then here's what's going on. If you're a teenager, y'all are practicing during this time, so where are they at, Pastor Adam? 2:03, so they're practicing for their teen choir special, so if y'all can want to head that way, you're welcome to do that. Some of you are like, I already moved once. I'm not moving again, all right? But anyway, so glad that you're here tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance to give back to you. Thank you, Lord, for the folks coming out tonight and as we discuss the future of our church at the end. Lord, we want to really focus in on you, worship you, process what we talked about this morning. Now, we ask your blessings and all of it. In your name I pray. Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, go to Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. Man, everybody moved. That was cool. Take it. Stop giving me some of those looks, though, y'all. It's really not nice. No, I'm just kidding. So we talked about this morning the question, have you ever run away from home? Does anybody have a story of when you ran away from home as a child and anything unique happened when you tried to do it? I shared mine today, and somebody threw me under the bus because they texted my mom, Jordana, and kind of said, hey, Joey was talking about you, and so anyway, I had to answer this afternoon. But what about you? Any time to tell a story of when you decided you'd had it? What were the circumstances around it, and what did you do? This will be really quick if nobody has a story. Nobody ran away? Go ahead, Debbie. All right. Well, so what you thought it would be, it turned out not to be. And I love your justification. There was only a little white lie. That's good. Thank you for that story. Somebody else. Yeah, you ran away from home.
There was fighting and cussing and, you know, lots of alcohol. And I just remember thinking, because I was a new Christian at the time, I remember thinking it would be so much better for me if I just ran away and lived with a Christian family that I knew, and that I couldn't stay there.
Right.
So I packed a bag and I climbed out of the window and I left for almost 2 weeks.
Where'd you go?
I went to a Christian family. I didn't know them in the store, but they knew that I had a bad family life.
Right.
And he said, even if it means your parents tell you you can't go to church on Sunday night, you need to
obey them. Right.
That's right. So I very begrudgingly went back
home. Amen. Wow. That was a heavier story than what mine was, but oh, wow. All right. Somebody else, a time when you decide, you know what, I've had it, I'm out, I'm gone, see you later. And anybody ever think about it, but you only thought about leaving, you didn't think about where you were going? Can you identify with that? Like, okay, once I get to the end of the street, I don't really know what I'm going to do next. And so I'm kind of glad my parents didn't like, all right, go, we gave you your bag, move on. So anybody else, does anybody have where you ran away from home as a child and what happened? All right, Miss Linda. All right. Oh, wow. True. As parents, sometimes I think Heather and I have asked, are we allowed to run away right now? You know, it's kind of one of those things. And all my kids are teenagers, so they're in the other room, so I can speak freely tonight. Anyway, listen, I just remember the I'll show them. And then when my mom said, I'll pack you a bag. And it was just like, she just took all the momentum out of it. So we talked about that. There are times where we thought about running away from home as a child, and some of us maybe actually tried it and it wasn't as fun, or your parents kind of took the fun out of it. But there have been times in our lives when we've run away from God. And what I mean is we didn't necessarily pack a bag and say, God, I'm done, although it could include that. But there are times in our life, they happen on a regular basis, a daily basis, even a weekly basis, or even in seasons of our life where Christ makes it clear to us what he wants us to do, and you're just like, uh-uh, I'm not doing that. So maybe you can share this today. When you look back on your life, and it could be a small thing or it could be a big thing, can you describe a point in your life or a time in your life where you were running in a direction that was far away from God? And what happened in your story? Can you give us a time where you kind of ran away from God? Go ahead, Susan.
Well, you know, I had a pastor who was pretty easy to know. And when I got saved, I came out of that lifestyle. Mm-hmm. But there was a time when I thought I was missing out on something, right? Mm-hmm. And I went back just to see if it was the same, and I knew that I did not belong in it. Mm-hmm. And the next morning, I went straight to John and said, I'm sorry, I made this mistake, and I'll never do it again.
Right.
But I knew that it was no longer for me, and the Holy Spirit said, come on,
Oh, good. Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Yeah, the conscience was just destroyed, right? Or you just, oh, so upset. Good. Somebody else? Good story. You ran, you knew what God wanted you to do, but you're like, mm-mm, I'm not doing it. Go ahead, Philip.
So, at a young age, I made a profession of faith at the age of 4, but I truly did not understand it. And so at the age of 11, I truly understood and got saved. And the thing was, is right after that, God told me, hey, I know you went for it at 7, you got baptized, but since you didn't understand that, you need to go get baptized now.
Right. Right. Well, amen. It was almost like once you finally leaned back into him and listened, then you really heard him clearly again. Boy, I can tell you the same stories for me too, my friend. It's like, God, I want to know where you want me to do with my life, but as long as you don't send me to Africa with the snakes and the spiders. And then when I finally said, all right, God, if you call me to Africa, wink, wink, nod, nod, now tell me. And then, no, that didn't work. When I finally truly surrendered, that was when he made it clear. But I want to just tell you how you can run from God on a practical side. And so this is just a story that happened just a few weeks ago. My wife and I got into a disagreement. Right? And it was one of those things where, you know, it's you're supposed to make it right, but there are some days you just want to make a point instead of make it right. Have you ever been there? And so that day I decided that I was going to make a point. And I was in a bad mood. I wasn't pleasant to be around. You'll probably hear my wife say amen finally at this point. But so we're going to bed, and it's Saturday night. I got to preach in the morning. Now, you all need to know this. This is a little backstory. I will not preach if me and my wife aren't right. I don't feel like I should preach if we're not right. This happened a few years ago. We were fighting the whole way to church. And on the way to church, we just couldn't seem to get it right. And we lived 25 minutes away, so we finally pulled in. It's like 20 minutes before the service. And I was like, look, I got to go in and preach. We need to get right. And she looked at me and said, well, that's not my problem. I'm like... Right? I was like, no. So anyway, so we eventually got it right, thank goodness. But so this Saturday night, I'm laying there, she's laying here, I'm laying there, and the Lord's like, you need to say this. And in my mind, he's telling me exactly what I need to say. And so you know what I did? I said, no, I'm not saying it. And he's like, what? I'm not saying it. You need to say it. And so I argued with God that whole first 10 minutes. And then I finally was like, all right, I'll say it. And it took me another 10 minutes to get it out of my mouth. My pride was holding on that strong. So let me just tell you, it's not just the big ways in which we can run from God. You can spend a day running from Him. I spent a Saturday running from Him, honestly, so I was able to run to Him on Sunday. But I wasted a whole day. I was so disappointed that I let my pride go to that place and making it right with her. And honestly, I felt so much better after I said it. But for literally 20 minutes, I fought God. You know, I was breathing heavy. I was kind of doing all this stuff. And I was like, oh, I was like, just say it. And I just couldn't say it. So it's not just big things like with Susan or even Philip mentioned. We can run from God in little ways every day. And so the thing is we want to be in tune to the voice of God in our life so that we can clearly hear Him when we know at times we're doing the exact opposite of what we want. Does anybody else have a story? I want to share a principle of that. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, whatever. So I drive myself coming here and sitting beside her is like a little bit, you know. Trying to have a safe space. And then we're talking about it during our lunch time. I said, well, what Pastor said, maybe there's something going on with him. So maybe I was like, maybe something going on with him. But he was fighting for 5 minutes ago and then you're showing up in church and say, hi, Lola, is everything okay? And, but I said, you know what? The thing is, as a believer, it's better to show up in church fighting for whatever issues you have as a husband and wife than a husband or a wife going to a club or any vices, drink alcohol or drugs. So I would still comment, even if you're fighting, just show up in church.
Oh, yeah. I'll come, but I'm not preaching because that wouldn't be good. But yeah, no, it can be very tough. I mean, because I think it's what we need to, in church world, sometimes most people give the impression that it's not okay. It's not okay to not be okay. But I think some days it's okay to not be okay. That you come in here and it's not, hey, everything's wonderful. Because nobody has those days and those weeks. And listen, I say this all the time. There are some days that my wife, we're on the same page. But there are other days we're not even in the same book. It's just like we just can't get on. And we could go to bed on the same page and wake up in a different library, it feels like sometimes. But that's okay. We've learned to work through it. And we found that even in some of our most difficult times is where we've grown closer together. And that having disagreements isn't always a bad thing. She usually realizes she's wrong. So it is always good. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking, all right? Here's something why I think it's really difficult sometimes for us and why we end up running. Because if we obey God, we must disobey ourselves. And disobeying ourselves is what makes obeying God so hard. If we obey God, it means we have to disobey ourselves. And you know, I want what I want when I want it, right? And don't tell me I can't have it. I've gotten to this station in life. I have enough money. I can get what I want when I want it. That's not the point. The hardest part of obeying God, oftentimes, is disobeying ourselves. So let me ask you this question. Let's talk about this for a second. Why do people run away from God? Why do people run away from God? Yes, ma'am. Right. There's something in their life that they're enjoying, or there's something in their life that they don't really want it to come out, so they gotta fake it till they make it, so to speak. Those are good reasons. What about anybody else? In your own, yeah, Joe.
I think because they think they're gonna miss out at that
Right. That's a great point. How many times have we not obeyed God because we think if we obey God, then we're not going to have any fun or we're going to miss out on something good? I've mentored, I've counseled, and if that's just one of the biggest reasons. Well, if I say yes to God, then I'll have to say no to dot, 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 dot. And they'll list some of things. I said, well, if you say yes to God, you don't even know what you'll miss out on because God's got so many other great things for them. But that's so hard to wrap our minds around because seeing what the world offers requires no faith. Seeing what God offers, it's all faith. Very good. Why else do people run away from God?
Sometimes I think that our faith is weak and we are somehow convinced that whatever it is that God has for us in that moment or whatever it is that we will is scary. And so we don't want to take that step of faith because it's scary, which is a totally backward way of thinking because truly being in God's will is the safest, most joyful, peaceful place you can be. But for me, there's been times where I just felt like God's will was scary.
Absolutely. Sometimes we're afraid of what we'll miss out on. Other times we're afraid of what's going to happen. It's like, it's not that I don't think that saying yes to God is bad, but if I say yes to God, what could happen? And sometimes your imagination can go that way with it. Very good. Somebody else, why do some people run away from God?
Sometimes people get so caught up in pleasing people, but they don't want to disappoint that person. So
right.
That
sometimes we don't necessarily put ourselves first, in a sense. We put others first. And once again, all of that is a form of idolatry. Very good. Somebody else, another reason people run away from God. Yes, sir?
So sometimes
you think you're on the right person for that. Oh. I never thought of that. Very good. Somebody else, what was another one? The conflict in family. You know, I would even say this. There can be relational conflict. There can be physical pain. Have you ever had something happen to you physically, whether you get sick or something? Don't you find that those are some of the toughest times spiritually? I remember Heather lifting Max up when you just and her disc slipped out. And it was so hard on our family for months. She eventually had to have back surgery, but she was in constant pain for close to a year before she had that surgery, and it was just awful. And it's so hard when we go through conflict, when you go through pain, when you go through anything that happens at work. All those kind of things can affect you spiritually and cause you maybe to doubt God and whether you realize it or not, whether you overtly or covertly run away from God. Good. Because listen, I've never been at this, never been for me where I've run away from church. I've always been in church, but I've run away from God while in church. So it's real easy to still run from God. Just because you're sitting here tonight, because you came on Sunday night, does not mean you're not running from God. All right? Anybody else? So let me ask you this question. Somebody else have one? Oh, go ahead, Philip. Right? It's that cosmic game that we can play with God that even Baptists do that, hey, I can come forward and make it right. God will forgive, and now I can go do it again. Do you know there are so many times, and I know you probably never did this, Philip, but I would get up, come during, the old-fashioned altar, and I would say, God, my bad, I'm sorry. And in getting up from the altar and going back to my seat as a teenager, I was already making plans to do it again. But how I thought it? I thought I was playing a game with God. God already forgave me of my sins, so I'm free to go do it again. And I just had it so wrong. But yeah, sometimes easier to ask forgiveness than permission.
Well, repentance is never taken. You always have repentance. It doesn't mean go and do it again, of course, but with repentance, that's why there's repentance. It's the one thing that will never be taken.
Correct. You can always turn from. But here's what I did. I turned from, said, God, I'm sorry, and turned right back. And the thing is I really didn't turn from. I was kind of trying to play that cosmic game with God, but God knows our heart, and he knows when we're playing a game. Right. But that's why he says confession and repentance. So he knows that true change happens when confession happens. What's confession? It's to see as God sees. It's to see it from his perspective. You see, when we look at our sin, it looks like a chocolate milkshake. But when God looks at your sin, it looks like death and mud and worms. If you saw a cup full of death and mud and worms tonight, would you want to, ooh, let me have a sip. But if you show me a picture of a chocolate frosty tonight, ooh, let me have a spoonful of that. But when I see as God sees, then I'll be able to do as God says. So here's the second part of that question. What is it about God's reputation that causes many people to run away rather than to him? I think this has a lot to do with the way that we view God. So what are some ways that people view God in a way that really they probably shouldn't or have a wrong view of God? I gave one this morning. Some people view God as the cosmic police officer with the radar gun. And he's just looking to catch you doing wrong so he can write you a ticket. What are some other ways that people view God wrongly? What's that? Hammer down. Right? Yes, that's one. What else? Uh-huh. Correct.
For example, God is love, and then it's a whole kumbaya lifestyle where everything is, you know, peachy keen, or they think God is just judgment.
Right.
Or they think God is just, you know, anger.
Right.
When in reality, he's diverse. You know,
absolutely. Yeah, that's good. Somebody else, how do people tend to view God? Yeah. I think he does have that. That is for sure. He made me. So, but definitely, there's one. What was another way people tend to view God? Yes.
I think maybe transactional. Like, God, I'll go to church, and then next week I expect a blessing.
All right. Transactional. I haven't heard that way before. But yeah, you're right. God, I'll do my time, and you do your thing. All right. That's good. Some people view God as Santa Claus. Sit on his lap. You've been a good boy or girl, right? And since you've been a good boy or girl, then he's going to give you what you want, right? That's one. Philip?
He
tend
to view God as your 911.
Right? He shouldn't be your last resort. He should be your first call, right? Right, exactly. He's your everything. But you're exactly right. Oh, people, what do they say? Well, all I can do now is pray. Yeah, he's not to be that. Very good. What's another one? Just, go ahead, Heather. Yeah, a rule maker. He's just, as soon as you figure something else, he's going to lay out another set of rules to make your life miserable. Very good. Anybody else? A couple of principles around this. This helped me to understand it this way. How do I know when I'm running from God? I wrote this down. I know I'm running when I insist that my way is better than God's way. If there's an area in your life where you insist, God, I think I'm more right than you are right now. First of all, you're out of your mind. But second of all, when you're thinking that, you know you're embracing a false assumption. Yes, sir? Well, yeah. But here's the thing, and I'll take it a step further. There are things that I'm not necessarily doing wrong that aren't God things. The first, now, we ought to always ask, is this right or wrong? But before we make a decision, because this we don't stop there. We shouldn't ask, is this right or wrong? Second of all, we should ask, is this wise? And then third, am I being led by the Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit guiding and directing me? Because you know what? There are a lot of you all, a lot of us as church people, we do right things all the time. But it's still not what God wants. If you do right in the flesh, you're still doing wrong. What's flesh? Self-dependence. So when you do what's right in your own self-dependence, then you're costing God's best in your life. And don't sacrifice good for God's best. You'll miss out every time. Very good. Thank you for that one. Here's the thing it's about. It's all about belief. Let me put it this way. It is not that we don't believe when we run from God. It's just that our belief has shifted to believing in myself rather than believing in him. We now believe that what we know is best. And when we live our lives believing that everything depends on me, this is what happens. I am now a slave to my own strengths and weaknesses. So think about that for a second. Do you want it to be dependent, as far as something to go, to be dependent on your strengths or your weaknesses? But when you depend on God, it's all about his strengths, and he has no weaknesses. So who are we going to believe? Understand, it's not a question of who, it's not a question of whether or not we believe. It's a question of who we believe, because when we choose ourselves, our belief is shifted from God knows what's best to I know what's best. And now you know you're thinking crazy, because God knows what's best. God can see the past, the present, the future all at the same time. So we know that we're believing a lie and we're embracing a false assumption. And the thing is the enemy does not want you to follow him. He just wants you to believe in you. And that's when we looked at Jonah. What was Jonah's problem? Jonah's problem was, as Jonah became his God, he now believed that he knew better than God knew better when it came to the people of Nineveh, when it came to his own life. So here's the thing. When we run from God, we're going to experience danger. When you run from God, you're in a dangerous position. So when you run from God, you'll experience danger. When you question God's will, you will experience discouragement. But when you submit to God's will, you will experience deliverance. So don't run from it. Danger, Will Rogers, right? Danger. Danger. Boop, boop, boop. That's where the light's coming on. Has anybody ever had a light come on in your dashboard of your car? Anybody try to ignore it? Right? I had a friend, he put duct tape over it. Because if he didn't see it lit, then it wasn't a problem. But you know what eventually happened if you ignore it? You're going to break down. Well, you know what God does in our life? This is an act of his grace, not an act of his anger. He says, hey, listen to me. There's something wrong in your life. Danger. But then when you question it, you're going to experience discouragement. A lot of times, discouragement eventually can lead to depression for many people, but it starts with questioning where God goes and what God is doing. So what we need to do is submit to God's will. Look at Jonah chapter 1. I want you to see this in Jonah chapter 1. Look at verse 3. But Jonah, so God says, go to Nineveh. I want you to preach to them. But Jonah, verse 3 of Jonah 1, but Jonah rose up to flee from Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, like he can do that, and went down to Joppa, and he found the ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, and we talked about this today. The sea was not God's punishment. The sea was God's intervention. The wind and the storm was God's intervention, not because he was trying to get back at Jonah, because he was trying to bring back Jonah. But Jonah was gone down into the verse 5. So the mariners were afraid and cried every man into his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. Jonah seemed to be the last person in the boat to recognize that chaos was going around him. I kind of got the idea, right? Here's the storm. I'm going to die. So I'm going to die in my sleep, because I would rather die sleeping than rowing. How often is it that those who are running are the last to connect their choices to the chaos in their life? Because we talked about this principle this morning. Runners are the last to see the connection between the bad stuff in their life, the chaos, and the choices that they make. You'll hear people say, man, I'm just having the worst luck in the world. No, you're not. You're just making the worst choices in the world sometimes. And don't you love sometimes, and I've done this before, to get mad at God when bad things happen, when you made the choices that caused the bad things in your life? Well, God isn't a loving God. Look what happened to me. Well, no, you chose to do that. So how often is it that those who are running are the last to connect their choices to the chaos in their life? I mean, do you ever see people, how many of you see people and you see their choices and the chaos that comes with it, and they're legitimately surprised? Has anybody ever dealt with people like that? I just don't understand what is happening to me. Right? Yeah, me too. It's like, God, did I do something? He's like, yeah. But understand that it's not the punishment of God. God set in motion from the creation of the world a principle. It's a farming principle. You reap what you sow. If I plant an apple tree, it's not going to produce bananas, no matter how much I think it's going to produce bananas. If you think it's going to produce bananas, then you're bananas. It's going to, because if you plant an apple tree, it produces apples. You plant an orange tree, it produces oranges. What you plant will eventually come forth. Well, right now, the decisions we make today, we're planting, and when they come to fruition later on. I was in the hospital one time, and the guy had lung cancer, and he said, "I'm so mad at God for giving me lung cancer." I said, "Well, sir," I didn't say it at the time, but I was thinking, probably the last 50 years of smoking probably gave you lung cancer, not God, right? It's just one of those things. So we talked about that sometimes people do not see the connection between the chaos and that. So not only are runners the last to see the connection of their running and chaos, but running from God comes with a cost to us and those around us. See, this is the thing that is just... Think about this. People talk about being miserable. How many know somebody that's running from God or have known somebody that's running from God? And did they ever say, "Hey, I just want you to know, you probably don't know this, but I've been running from God"? Was anybody ever shocked? I've never met anybody. I've never said, "You know, Heather, I'm struggling spiritually." And she's like, "Really? I would have never known it." Because the people closest to you are so close to you, they see it. But here's the other thing. When we choose to run from God, not only are we miserable, we make those closest to us miserable as well. Running from God keeps you from living the life that God intends you to live. Whether you miss out on a day, like I did a Saturday a few weeks ago, or a season, like sometimes we've done in our teen years, or our college years, or our first marriage, we just chose to run from God. So let me ask you question number 5. Why is it that many people view difficulties in their lives as a way of God paying them back? Why do we feel like when difficulties come, we kind of feel like God's just paying us back? It's a tough question, isn't it? Yeah, sir. Right. You know what frustrates me the most? Not only can I not keep God's rules, I can't even keep my own rules. You ever found that out? I mean, how many of you made a New Year's resolution and you've already broken it, right? Well, I'm not going to raise your hand because probably all of us in some way. I'm not going to eat that and I ate that. I'm not going to do that and I did that. Not only can we not keep God's rules, we can't even keep our own rules. So one of the things, like you said, we feel guilty and we feel like we let God down, like God's up there going. See, so it has to do with our view of God and how we think he views us. But listen, why is it that many people view difficulties in their lives as a way of God paying them back? Why do we think that way? I think for some of us, we were taught that way. Gotcha. So you just kind of developed a belief along the way that God is always coming after you before he loves you. Wow. Yeah, and here's what I found is there's not necessarily sometimes that we're taught the wrong way, but we take it the wrong way from what we're taught, that we kind of miss the point. But it could be that we're taught the wrong way. How might those hardships be a way of God not paying them back, but bringing them back? When you look at what God's trying to do in life, and we look at it from time to time, when we look back and say, well, you know what? Now that I look at that, God was not trying to get me back. What was he trying to do? He's trying to bring me back. And when you see it from that light, it changes everything. It starts with our view of God, our perspective of God. He said in Proverbs 3, 11, 12, he corrects who he loves. He corrects who he loves. Now, this is a question that I think maybe people don't want to answer out loud, and it's okay, but ask ourselves this question. In what areas of your life are you currently running away from God? None of us in here are perfect. So if you think, well, I'm not. Well, you, my friend, are like Moses. You're in denial. All right. Oh, you see what I did there, right? We're in denial. There are always, what did the song sing? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Our default button is self-dependence. And so there are going to be times where we're at least tempted to run away from God. Ask God to show you those. And are you experiencing storms as a result? Not because God is trying to get you back, but because he's trying to bring you back. So what we need to do tonight is we need to take off our running shoes and we need to kneel. And here's what you find. You find that God's been waiting for you all along. He's not going, he's going, oh, I'm so glad to see you. You see, whenever we try running from God, God will just let our lives be miserable for our sakes. God sent the storm because he loved Jonah. God sends storms because he loves us. If you take anything from today, understand this. God is not trying to get you. He loves you. God uses storms to break us so that he can free us. You understand that? He wants you to be free from that habit. He wants you to be free from that lack of repentance and that lack of forgiveness. He wants you to be free from those relational scars. He wants to free you, not entangle you, not ensnare you. And here's the greatest thing about that. When God frees me, then I am free to be how God made me to be. When God frees me, I'm free to be who God made me to be. So what we understand from this morning is this. I can run from him, and we all will at some point, but you can't outrun him. The storm was great, the fish was great, but God's mercy is bigger, and God's grace is bigger. We're going to talk about this, but it talks about in Scripture over and over his steadfast love. It's a love that waits no matter how long it takes. People tell me all the time, well, this person, they've been running, they've been doing this. Do I really need to keep going? Yes, we need to love as Jesus loves. So, God's not trying to pay you back, he's trying to bring us back. And we need to let that, pardon the pun, we need to let that sink in. So next week, here's what we're going to talk about. We're going to consider about what it looks like to come home. We know what it looks like to run away. Next Sunday morning, we're going to talk about what it looks like to come home. So one last thing before we're done tonight. Does anybody have maybe something that God spoke to you specifically in the sermon tonight or this morning and what we talked about today that maybe you want to share with somebody else that might be a little bit different or unique that you want to bring out before we're done? Anybody? Yes, Susan.
I don't know if I mean God's will or not. But you mentioned that when I retire.
So you need some clarity. Right. Right. Gotcha. Well, we'll pray for you if I can walk you through that. Boy, yeah, go ahead. Right, absolutely. Well, here's the thing that I found is it's not that God's not speaking, it's generally we're not listening. So once you get to the point where you really want what he wants, he doesn't want to hide it from you. So he will make that clear. Very good. Somebody else, something that you learned this morning that you'd like to share before we close out? Yes, sir.
Something my kids reported taking shortcuts.
Mm-hmm.
And
Hmm. Right.
It would have been so much easier if you just
got the easy thing. Yeah. Absolutely. God's way is always the best way.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am.
Just two random thoughts that I had throughout the story and then also throughout the night.
Yeah.
The first one, when we were talking about Jonah being asleep in the boat, mm-hmm. I thought, how could someone sleep through that? How could you physically sleep through that? And it just brought me back to thinking about what depression is like. When someone is depressed, they can pretty much sleep through anything. That's all they want to do.
Right.
And so I thought, it kind of makes a little bit of sense in my mind that when you're running from God, depression comes along with that.
Mm.
And then also, there's when we got to number five, and I don't explain if this is biblical or not, so feel free to but I just imagined, being yoked up with Christ.
Mm.
When you're yoked up with him, life is easier.
Absolutely.
And so, life just in general is hard. Mm. So maybe it's not necessarily God sending a very specific hardship.
Mm.
Maybe it's just that you're not walking with him and you're not yoked up with him.
Right.
And so everything seems horrible and hard. And coming back to him and yoking back up, everything is naturally going to be easier. So that's maybe a way of him saying, see how hard it is.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Would you say the first one again, because I had something and I lost it. Yeah, okay. So he went down the boat in depression. Here's the thing, that he was not only escaping on the outside, he was escaping on the inside. And how often do we look for escapes? We run, I know how I look to escape. I run to the fridge, I run to the Netflix, I want to escape, I want to watch. I want to watch a game so I can forget about my life. And sometimes we run to sleep. How could he fall asleep in the boat? Well, maybe he had a waterbed, so he's already used to the up and down. I don't know. The second part of yours, say the sentence again real quick. Yeah, that is biblical. That's Matthew 11:28-30. Right. No, that's the gospel. That's not just salvation. That's also sanctification. He says, without me, ye can do nothing. And so good there. All right, let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to jump right into the business. Thank you all for being here tonight. And listen, on Sundays when you come,